Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I want to talk about discipline. So discipline is 100% needed if you want to succeed with any goal, because, you know, discipline is, it's basically giving up what you want now for what you want most. And that's the mindset you have to have when it comes to achieving any type of goal. Specifically fat loss, because that's who this podcast is aimed at, people who are trying to achieve fat loss, or, you know, maybe you're trying to build muscle. And then, you know, discipline comes into so many other areas in your life. It's not just fat loss. Sometimes I have to try to be disciplined with my work schedule, making sacrifices to get work done, etc. It doesn't always, you know, revolve around the gym. People can be very career driven, people starting a business, etc. So, and that just proves my point. You have to give up what you want now for what you want most. And that's just making sacrifices and, you know, having the ability to self-monitor. Like, I think a lot of people, the narrative that they tell themselves is, I can't do this, I can't do that. But that's a mindset. And that's the narrative that you're telling yourself. And the ability to self-monitor, I think people assume they don't have that, or they don't realize they have that ability. I mean, if you've had two chocolate bars already today and your goal is fat loss and you go to pick up another chocolate bar, people really, really lack that self-talk, that inner voice, because they're listening to the negative self-talk so much, being like, you can't stick to anything, you can't achieve anything, just have the other chocolate bar, no surprise here, typical you never stick to anything. Whereas you could rephrase that and be like, I want to give up this chocolate bar right now because what I want most is to lose a pound this week. And I've already had a chocolate bar today. I've already had another one and now I'm having a third one. So why do I need to have three chocolate bars if my goal this week is to drop 1 pound of body fat? Don't start thinking, I want to drop a stone, so I'm not going to eat this chocolate bar. Dropping a stone seems like a massive mountain to climb, and it's very easy to give in to temptation when you know you have a massive mountain to climb. But when you tell yourself, I want to drop a pound this week, it's way more achievable, way more attainable, and I think you're less likely to have that third chocolate bar. But anyway, I read a book. I am already familiar with discipline because it's probably a big reason why where I am today in my career and with my physicality. And I don't think you ever stop striving to be a better you. Like, I don't think there's a point where you get to where you're just like, oh, I like how I look now. Like, I think you're always trying to be stronger. You're always trying to improve in every area. It's sometimes people get caught up that when you go to the gym a lot, or, you know, you're looking after your food, you just constantly want to chase skinny all the time. I've said it in my previous podcasts. I have relatives who think I have an eating disorder because I look after myself when I go to the gym. That's not the case. Sometimes people just want to be healthy and look after themselves. But again, that's down to lack of education in that area. And I know anyone who might be on the same page as me agrees with me. But I read a book on discipline this week. And even though I was already familiar with it, I basically just wanted to read it so it could help me summarize what discipline is, and I could make a podcast about it. So I'll get the name of the book towards the end of the podcast. It's on my Kindle, so I don't have my Kindle at hand. It's definitely something simple, like The Art of Discipline or something. But these were the notes that I have taken down so I can share them with you to save you reading the book. So when you make better choices, self-discipline is strengthened. When you neglect the better choices, it weakens discipline. And it's so true. So I've a number of quotes here from the book, and I'll obviously expand on what that means. So that quote there is, when you make better choices, it's strengthened. And it is. It's like willpower. If you're constantly going to the press and, you know, having that tour chocolate bar of the day, and you're not having that self-talk with yourself, you're weakening discipline. Like, how are you supposed to excel at anything if you keep giving in to temptation? Again, giving in to short-term gratification. You want that chocolate bar now, but, you know, you came to a PT, you came to an online coach, you said you wanted to lose a stone in 4 months. How is eating chocolate bars, 3 to 4 chocolate bars a day, going to help you with that goal? Yes, you can have one chocolate bar and still achieve that goal. Maybe two. But I mean, you can't, there's no magic pill that you can swallow that can give you discipline. It comes down to inner self-talk, which leads me on to the next one. If you look at it like this, the brain of a person who says no to a slice of cake 10 times is different from the brain of a person who eats a slice of cake each time it's offered to them. But we were all someone who gave in to a slice of cake 10 times, you know, and the difference between the person who's able to turn it down 10 times is they didn't fall at the fourth hurdle. Well, they maybe have fallen at the fourth hurdle, but when they got to the second and the third one, they actually started to pull their socks up and be like, this isn't going to change if I keep giving in. If I keep giving in to short-term gratification, it's not going to change. So eventually they started refusing, and they refused it the fourth time, and they realised the world didn't end, I didn't die, and I survived. And then the second time comes around, or the tour time, and they're a bit more comfortable now saying, no, well, you know, I refused it the first time, I can do it a second time, and now I've done it the tour time. But if you keep giving in to temptation, how are you ever supposed to strengthen your self-discipline? Like, it takes practice and consistency. People don't just wake up one day and have, like, you know, really strong discipline, enhanced discipline. It takes time, it takes practice, it takes putting it into practice. And obviously talk about that throughout the podcast, but, you know, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Because we'd all like to have 10 slices of cake. Of course we would. Cake is tasty, cake is nice. But if we want to drop body fat and get to the end of the line, having 10 slices of cake, you know, every 10 times it's offered to us, ain't going to get us there, and it's not going to help you with your self-discipline, you know. And if you're giving into slices of cake, you're giving into other things in your life as well, when it comes to fat loss, like not going to the gym when you don't feel like it, not going on the run because you don't feel like it, not tracking your calories because you don't feel like it, you know. So the next one is how you're feeling can impact discipline, for example. Like, I totally agree with this. So if you're really, really busy one day, or you're just chronically busy all the time and you're not feeding yourself and you're skipping meals because you just don't have time to sit down. Look, I am guilty of this the odd time. I am. Sometimes it can come down to poor planning, and sometimes it can just come down to, you know, a freak incident where you just didn't have the time to eat. But if this is an ongoing thing, if you're skipping meals constantly and you're arriving home at 6 p.m. starving due to being so busy, not feeding yourself, even the most mentally resilient person is going to find it hard to resist any type of snack, okay? Because when you've got low blood sugar, your body is in survival mode and it begins to crave instant gratification, okay? Which can lead to binging and behaviors linked to lack of discipline. So for example, I'm going to give you an example of, you know, in the early days when I started kind of tracking my calories and I was really getting into the whole fat loss thing and I wanted to take it seriously. Like, I had the ability to self-monitor. So I started noticing these things. I was coming home and I was absolutely starving, okay? Like, I was really, really hungry. And what I used to always do is I'd go to the press and just start eating snacks. Like, carby snacks, like biscuits, cakes, packets of crisps. And they weren't filling me. You know, they weren't filling me. And what would happen is that's 500 to 600 calories worth of snacks that ain't going to fill me. I'm going to be hungry in 20 minutes. Whereas I could have came home, cooked a meal that took 20 minutes, that would take me about 20 minutes, and it would have filled me for 3 to 4 hours, and that would have helped me with my goal. So I had to start having those self-talks with myself, like, how did I fix the issue? So I think the main thing here is that you do have to kind of have that inner, that pep talk with yourself, and it's going to take practice. It is going to take practice because the carbohydrates are our body's primary source of energy, all right? And when your blood sugar is low, and you're starving and, you know, you're irritable, you just want food fast. So your body's going to crave fast carbs. So fast carbs are the likes of cakes and biscuits and, you know, sweets, etc. Because they give us a fast release of energy, all right? Whereas, like, slow releasing carbs like oats, potatoes and stuff, they're going to give us energy, you know, over a long period of time, over a few hours rather than like 20 minutes. Like, you have people eating a bowl of Rice Krispies before they go to the gym, half an hour before they go to the gym, because that's going to give them a lot of energy very quickly. Whereas like a bowl of oats might take an hour to kick in, you know. So what I had to start doing is this is to make it easier for yourself. If you know that you can sometimes be prone to skipping meals, and I don't advise that, I really don't, like, please try and be more organized and plan better. But what will make your life easier is if you already have food cooked, and it doesn't even have to be like ready-made meals, you know, put off in a lunchbox. Because if you're an extremely busy person, meal prep might take up a lot of time for you and it might not work for you. And we're all about including things in our life that make our life easier, not harder, okay? So what I started doing, for example, is I started batch cooking my chicken fillets. I started buying bags of microwavable rice, and like a jar of Uncle Ben's curry sauce. And then what another meal I would make would be, what is it, spag ball. So I would buy a bag of pasta, and I would buy mince and a jar of like Dalmio sauce. And what I would do is I would cook my meat, okay? I'd cook my meat. So that way when I come home, if I wanted to make a curry, I heat the chicken fillet up in the microwave for 2 minutes with the rice, the microwavable rice, which also takes 2 minutes, and the curry sauce, mix it all together. No, it's not a Gordon Ramsay style meal or a Michelin star type meal, but guess what? It's going to taste nice. It's going to be something I like, and it's quick and easy, and it's going to help me with my goals. That's what I started doing. So when I came home and I wanted to reach for those chocolate bars, the crisps, etc., what would happen is I think, no, I have food in the fridge that's going to help me with my goal, and it's going to fill me, and I'm not going to be hungry in 20 minutes, which is going to make me reach for more snacks. So you need to start thinking of ways to make your life easier. Like, let it work with you rather than against you. Like, start coming up with systems that are going to help you, not work against you. So, like, not being prepared, not having stuff in the kitchen that's going to make life easier. I mean, when you come home and you haven't done the food shop and you're absolutely starving, what are you going to do? You're going to order food. You're going to order a takeaway. And then, you know, if you're in the early days of your journey, you're going to be beating yourself up because you had a takeaway. And there's nothing wrong with having a takeaway. But if it's down to poor planning, like, you're not going to get better. You're not going to get better at self-discipline if you're constantly underprepared. Like, a lot of planning does come into play with discipline. It does. You're trying to make yourself... Discipline, again, is taking us out of our comfort zone, all right? And it's putting us into uncomfortable and unfamiliar situations. So if you're not putting in a good system in place to help you with that, it's going to be very, very difficult to stick to it, all right? So the next one is... Discipline is about doing what you know you have to do, even when you don't feel like it. But for your efforts to make a difference, you have to be consistent with it. So go in the gym once when you don't feel like it. Okay, fair play to you, pat on the back. But what about the next 100 times when you don't feel like it? Are you still going to go? Because if you do, then that's discipline. Okay, it's not going to get you results just going to the gym once when you don't feel like it. It's doing it 100 times, or, you know, it's just... That's what it takes. It's repetition after repetition. You're building momentum, and your brain is building neural pathways. Okay, so what is that? So, you know, when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth and you don't even realize you're going to do it. It's just natural to you. You go into the toilet, do your business, and then, you know, wash your hands, brush your teeth, or else you might have your breakfast, whatever your routine is. I'm going to tell you what my routine is. I'll wake up and I have protein oats every single morning. My body is in autopilot when I go down to make those oats because I do it so much. That's the power of habit, okay? I could literally do it with my eyes closed. And that's because what started happening is when you start repeating that behavior in the early days, like, you know, not once, not twice, not three times, but over, you know, 20 to 30 times, your brain starts building neural pathways to be like, okay, I want to make this easier for this person. And that's why you're going into autopilot, because your body starts recognizing the same pattern of movements, you know, the same time, etc. Like, for example, I drive to the gym 5 days of the week, all right? Some days it's the only place I drive to, but I would say the destination I visit most in my week is the gym. It really is. So when I'm getting into my car and I'm driving somewhere else, my body sometimes my mind goes into autopilot, and I'm halfway to the gym when I'm supposed to be going to do a food shop and I have to do a U-turn. That's how your brain builds neural pathways, because you repeat the same thing over and over and it becomes second nature. You don't even realize you're doing it. You really don't. And that's why today, it's so much easier for me to go into a calorie deficit and lose body fat. But for you, when you're only starting off, it feels so much more difficult because you haven't built up them habits. It doesn't feel like second nature to you. It feels uncomfortable. And as human beings, we are programmed to go back to what's comfortable because it's easy. Sitting on your couch eating snacks doesn't require discipline because it's easy for you to do. You've been doing it all your life. So when you start, you know, walking into uncharted territory, unfamiliar, uncomfortable territory, you know, that's what makes or breaks a person, whether you're going to stick to it or whether you're going to go back to what's comfortable. But yeah, it builds neural pathways when you start going to the gym when you don't want to, because you're proving to your mind that your thoughts don't dictate your actions. You just get up and you go, no matter what way you're feeling. Because we'd all love to lie on the couch. I still get days. My body is molded into my bed because I'm betting to a box set on Netflix. But I know if I want to get to where I want to be, I have to do things I don't want to do. And I'm sorry, but that's it. There's no magic potion. There's no fancy pill that will make you disciplined. You have to pull your socks up and you just have to be, you have to be tough on yourself. You have to give yourself that inner pep talk, because that's what got me out of bed. That's what gets me into my car in the freezing cold winter months, or out on a walk in the freezing cold winter months. Like, you just, you can't feel sorry for yourself. You can't, because you ain't going to get anywhere feeling sorry for yourself. The more you tell yourself to shut the F up and take action, the easier it's going to become. But doing it once won't fix it. You have to keep doing it over and over and over, and it will get easier. I can promise you that. The first few times it is going to feel like a pain in the hole, and you're going to think it's not going to get easier. But it will. Now, so, like I said, some days I do feel like still lying in bed, but it gets that bit easier to get me out of it compared to day one. And the next one is, a self-disciplined person is a confident person, regardless of where they are at the moment, because they are currently the best version of themselves. They're eating properly, exercising, and working towards their goals. They're in the driver's seat, and their negative self-talk. They're in the driver's seat and not listening to their negative self-talk, sorry. They understand they're in charge of their actions and their future and nobody else. So yes, I do believe that someone who is self-disciplined is a confident person, because they have gotten an awful lot better at ignoring that negative self-talk. And don't get me wrong, like, I think it's always going to be there, but it gets weaker and it gets smaller the less that you listen to it. When you get up and do something and don't let your thoughts dictate that, you just take action, you build confidence. Because again, I just said it a few minutes ago, you're proving to yourself that your thoughts don't dictate you. All right. Because, you know, for someone who used to suffer from anxiety and I used to live in my head constantly, when I actually just started putting myself in uncomfortable situations that used to enhance my anxiety, I used to realize it was all in my head. And 90% of the things I was worrying about never even happened because I was living in my head too much. And you know what they say, feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's what I used to do. And then I proved to myself, you are more than your mind. Don't let your mind bully you, because that's exactly what it's doing when you're in situations that, you know, test your willpower. Like when you're at a party and there's like a platter of food in front of you and, you know, you sucked your calories all day, you went to the gym, you went on your, you did your steps and, you know, you've left maybe like 200 calories to enjoy two or three drinks or whatever. And there's a platter of food put in front of you and you just keep picking at it and picking at it and picking at it. You know, like I said earlier on, like the person who refuses a slice of cake 10 times, their brain is totally different to the person who accepts a slice of cake 10 times. When is the line going to be drawn where you're like, I'm actually trying to lose a pound of body fat this week, so I'm just going to have one goujon? And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm not someone who can sit in front of a platter of food and refuse to eat it, like I have to finish the whole plate, move table or move it away from you, out of sight, out of mind. And I know you're probably thinking, oh, well, you know, that's not fair. That's not going to fix the situation. Sometimes that's what's necessary. You just have to move it away from you. I know, I'll speak about this as well in the podcast too. Like, I know that if there's a can of Pringles in front of me, I'm gonna eat half the pack. Like, you know, I used to be someone who would finish a whole pack of biscuits. That used to be me. That used to be my identity. But you have to have that inner self-talk and you have to say to yourself, what's more important here? Polishing off this plate of food at a party when I've already fed myself today. I'm not going to starve if I don't eat this food. I've already fed myself enough today to survive. Why do I need to eat 47 chicken goujons? You have to start talking to yourself rationally. Move it away from you. Like I've done it myself. I've said to someone, take that plate of food away from me because I won't stop eating it. And I've caught myself doing it. Self-monitor. Have the ability to self-monitor. Call yourself out. Look at you. You're not just having one goujon here. You're having 10 to 15 goujons. No human being requires 10 to 15 goujons, okay? And especially if you've already fed yourself that day, or if you haven't fed yourself that day, that's down to poor planning. You're eating 15 goujons because you didn't plan accordingly. You didn't feed yourself properly. You didn't put the time aside to feed yourself, to have your two or three meals. And this is why you're having 15 goujons. And this is why you're going to feel shit after eating them. And it can all be avoided just through proper planning. There's no harm in having two or three. Have two or three. But do you need to have 15 goujons? Do I need to have half a can of Pringles? You know, three or four Pringles is going to satisfy the craving. Anything after that, I'm just eating for the sake of it. So the next one is, as humans, we are conditioned to stick to what's comfortable rather than the unknown. So a lot of people lack discipline because they simply don't want to do what needs to be done because change is uncomfortable and unfamiliar. Familiarity is comfortable for them. It's their safety blanket. For example, look at someone before they achieve massive change. they could come home from work every day and lie on the couch, you know, snack endlessly, etc. That doesn't require discipline. I already discussed this. And it's easy to do. You've been doing it all your life. Suddenly they decide that they want to change. They don't like how they look and they want to do something about it. You've spent years in that routine of lying on the couch and having snacks after work. And now you have to go to a boot camp class or go to the gym after work. You're trying to replace that habit, all right? And you have to push yourself now. You have to break yourself up. You're out of breath for about an hour. You during the class, obviously, not afterwards. And instead of reaching for snacks in the evening, you've started to replace that habit now with eating proper meals and exercising. Sure, you might stick to it for a week or two, but truly disciplined people will stick to it regardless of how much effort is involved and regardless that the results won't be immediate. The results won't be immediate, because that's what a lot of people expect sometimes, immediate results, and they get pissed off they're not getting immediate results and they don't stick to it. But you have to be in this for the long game, all right? This is a lifestyle. It's not an 8-week window. They know what needs to be done. They're in it for the long term. And then you have people who just go back to old habits because they're familiar. They're familiar with those habits. They're comfortable. It's their comfort blanket. These are people who lack self-discipline and they don't want to go into the unknown. The trick is, the more you remind yourself of what's just around the corner if you keep up the good habits, each time you resist the urge to go back to the couch, the easier it's going to get off to get over time, e.g. having that inner self-talk, okay? So, yeah, I could lie on this couch and dig into a sheer-sized bag of Doritos, but I also want to lose a pound of body fat this week. And I know if I lie on that couch and eat this bag of Doritos, that's not going to get me closer to my goal. What's going to get me closer to my goal? Going to the gym. Yes, it's going to feel uncomfortable, but after a month or two, it's just going to feel like second nature. It's going to be building neural pathways where it's just ingrained in me. That's just who I am now. I just go to the gym after work. That's the type of thing you need to be saying to yourself. So you probably start to gather that discipline is a lot of self-talk. So people shouldn't be afraid of failure. They should be afraid of regret. So the feeling of looking back on your life and wondering what if will torment you more than the feeling of having actually tried and failed. Imagine being in your 60s and thinking, I wonder if I stuck with that coach that I signed up to in my 30s. Where would I be now? Now, this is something I kept telling myself, you know. I kept telling myself, this is too hard, it's too tough, and I used to just quit. But one time I decided, what if I didn't quit this time? I used to identify as a person, you know, I used to be the type of person who I'd give up in races, I'd give up in any type of competition. I was just so fucking lazy, I really was. And then I changed my identity to someone who just didn't quit anymore. Whenever I went over my calories, I didn't quit. Whenever I got back, I just got back on track the next day. Whenever I missed a workout, I still did the next workout. I didn't just stop working out for the entire week because I missed one. Until it became ingrained in me. That is honestly, if I had one piece of advice, that was my weakness. And that's why I never stuck to something, because I would give up every time I couldn't be perfect. And we can't be perfect. We can never give 100% every day. It's not realistic. It's impossible. So you just have to learn to stop giving up every time you have a hiccup. Every time, you know, you slip into old habits for a day or something like that. Why are you throwing the towel in? There's 6 days left in this week. There's 6 days left to beat the one day you went off track. You have to keep looking at it like that. When I was looking at the bigger picture, that's what really helped me. When I used to just focus on my mistakes, that's what used to make me go off track. I would think, I can't be perfect, so why stick to this? You know, I used to think that you had to be 100% perfect to see results. And when I accepted you won't be perfect, but you can still be consistent, that was the game changer for me. It really was. Now, I think enough of talking about food for the moment, but the 40% drill, all right? So this applies to the gym. So yeah, your diet is important during fat loss, but lifting weights is going to push shape on your body. And if you're not pushing yourself in the gym, a half-arsed effort is going to give you half-arsed results. Now, the gym is a place to get stronger. Yes, cardio will help you burn calories, but sometimes I wish that people didn't associate the gym with fat loss all the time. It is a place to, you know, shape your body. And if you're just going to half-arse, you're not really going to shape your body, are you? When you're doing, say, 15 reps of a barbell back squat, right? So when you have a bar on your back and you're doing that squat pattern, and you get to 12 and you're thinking, oh, it's getting tough now. Or, you know what, I'll just leave it at 12. I can't do it anymore. Your mind is telling your body that it's tired, but your body's not tired. Your body is well able to bang out about 5 to 6 more reps, but your mind is screaming at your body, no, you're not able. The same part of your mind that screams at you when you open the cupboard in your kitchen to reach for a chocolate bar, have another chocolate bar. you're not able to stick to this. That is the same part of your mind, all right? So if you ran 5K and you were wrecked after and you couldn't imagine moving an inch doing any type of strenuous activity, or literally on your back on the pavement after that 5K run, you think, I don't have an ounce of energy left in me. Please leave me alone. I feel like I'm going to die. If a Rottweiler who hasn't eaten in 7 days ran towards you with like teeth on show, absolutely ravishing with the hunger, you would find the energy to run. You would find the energy to run, all right? So you have more in you. So don't let your mind tell you otherwise. You can get that extra 60% in. You have another 60% left in you, not just 40%, okay? At 40%, it's the threshold. Your body's like, no, you're too tired now. When I feel like I can't do any more reps, this is a trick I use. When I train on my own, and when I feel like I can't do any more reps in the gym, I actually imagine my coach is beside me. And when I have to do, say, 12 reps and I only get 10, I imagine my coach saying to me, it's two more lousy reps. Look how close you are. It's two reps. And 90% of the time, I end up getting them. And sometimes I actually say to myself, for the crack, just see if you got two left in you. Just see, could you get to two? And 90% of the time I do. And you're just cheating yourself by giving into comfort. You really are. How do you think people conquer marathons? It's a mental battle 90% of the time. It's not a physical battle. Self-discipline is about endurance. When you are determined to continue, but your mind is telling you to quit, you will build resilience that will make you unstoppable. And then the next one is false hope syndrome. The belief that change will be easy and changing bad habits will be easy. Sorry, but that shit takes time and hard work and a lot of work mentally. The people who think change is easy are the same people who give up when life gets hectic. They really are. Oh, I've got two weddings coming up over the next month and a weekend away. There's no point sticking to a calorie deficit, because your focus is now shifted from losing a pound of body fat a week and changing your life for the better. It's now shifted to getting pissed and eating rings around yourself. That's your focus now. That's what you're looking forward to. And you're not learning how to navigate through those situations so you can get better at them long term. Okay. So yeah, you're focusing on getting pissed and drinking, and you're not focused on long term change. I have clients who get very stressed the first time they have a big event or a holiday or a party to deal with during a calorie deficit. So they could be 4 weeks in and they're like, oh, I have a wedding this weekend, and I'm really afraid that I'm going to undo all my progress, because they've never had to monitor themselves like this. They've never had to self monitor themselves like this in these situations. They usually just go off the rails, eat and drink what they like. They've never actually had to step back and think, I'm going to watch my behavior today. But they now have to be mindful. But it's only because it's your first time and it's going to be uncomfortable. If you went to a wedding every weekend while in a calorie deficit, you'd eventually get used to saying no to an extra slice of cake. You'd eventually just stick to low calorie drinks. You'd eventually stop explaining yourself to people who don't lick. You'd stop explaining yourself to people who don't understand why you haven't licked your plate clean. Because let's be honest, we've all grown up where our parents have said to us, you didn't eat all your dinner. Sometimes we're just full. Sometimes we're just full. And, you know, it's a... Where am I now? Sorry, I'm after losing my train of thought. You'd eventually stop explaining yourself to people who don't understand why you haven't licked the plate clean. And it strengthens your willpower by doing uncomfortable things so much that it eventually becomes uncomfortable. So I was talking there about when I used to have anxiety. And when I used to have anxiety, I used to avoid uncomfortable situations. And it would make my anxiety worse. And I think that it's not that we avoid situations when we're in a calorie deficit. Yes, we still go to the weddings, but you are pressing the fuck up button, and that's not going to strengthen self-discipline. Unfortunately, there's always going to be shit around the corner. There's going to be holidays. There's going to be weddings. You can't not want to drop body fat or improve your life because of those situations. Okay, in those situations, you do your situational best. That's what I like to call it. So, you know, get your steps in Monday to Friday, or, you know, Monday to Saturday, whenever the wedding is. There's no reason why you can, it's like I put up a post about Christmas, over the Christmas period, how you can still moderately maintain your progress over the Christmas period. You can still get your walks in Monday to Friday. If your Christmas party is on Saturday, you can still go to the gym Monday to Friday. Why would you just neglect all those because you're going out 1 to 2 times a week? I just don't understand that. Why would you do that? It just doesn't make sense now. But I used to be that person myself. So when you're going to a wedding, you've spent 5 weeks on a calorie deficit, you know, starting to build up good habits. You realize now what's working for you. You're in a routine. And one day out of the 5 weeks you're going to a wedding and you're afraid you're going to undo all your progress. I just don't understand. I wasn't the best at maths in school, but one day where you just kind of go over your calories a bit and you're making memories and you're having a good time and you're being mindful, you're sticking to the low calorie drinks. Sure, you're up dancing for the majority of the night. You're probably burning calories, increasing your step count there. And, you know, you might just only have the start remain. You might not have the dessert. And, you know, it's one day. It's literally one day. But again, you're going into it being mindful this time. And, you know, you realise you survived it. And you realise you didn't gain back 10 pounds. And you wake up the next day and you just continue as normal. You continue, right, okay, you're probably going to have a hotel breakfast. But when you get home, you know, you're still going to stick to your normal dinner that you usually stick to. Or your normal lunch or whatever. And, you know, if you have it in, you maybe go on a few steps in the evening. But, I mean, one wedding in, like, a 12-week fat loss phase. Like, come on, let's think maths here. But anyway, the more you survive uncomfortable situations and you realise that you didn't overeat and you were able to deal with it, the more you're going to be comfortable going into, you're going to be more confident in yourself and your abilities to go into another situation like a weekend away or, you know, a friend's party or whatever. You can, like, be mindful and not go over your calories. Well, you will go over your calories slightly, but not press the fuck up button. You'll learn to stop pressing the fuck up button. If you want to win in life, stop focusing on the outcome and focus on the system you have in place that's going to get you to the outcome. So this is a massive one, all right? Focus on your daily habits, your routine. Make sure they're benefiting you and they're bringing you closer to your goal rather than working against you and pushing you away from your goal, okay? So, for example, I spoke briefly earlier about it. Not having food prepared in the fridge for when you come home after a busy day, that's not going to help you, okay? That's going to push you further away from your goal. And it's nearly like self-sabotage. You know you should have prepared food. You know you should. If you knew it was going to be a busy week, you should have batch cooked your chicken fillets. And you only have yourself to blame in that situation, but use it as a learning experience, okay? But if you keep focusing on the goal and you keep thinking, I have 3 stone to lose, I have 20 pounds to lose, every time you are tempted with, you know, a plate of chicken goujons at a party, and again, think, I have a pound to lose this week. I don't have 20 pounds to lose this week. I have 1 pound this week to lose. And it becomes a little bit easier then to turn down a plate of goujons. Because when you start thinking, I've 20 pounds to lose, it's going to feel impossible. It is. And then you're going to think, oh, I'll just start back tomorrow. But if you want to lose a pound a week, you can't start back tomorrow because you're not going to lose a pound then. Because, you know, you're chopping off days here as it's getting further into the week because you keep saying, I'm going to start tomorrow. And suddenly now you have 2 days to lose a pound because the other 5 days you've spent, I'll start tomorrow because you've gave in to temptation multiple times. So I just think that having a good system in place, finding out what works for you, how many times a week can you work out? What type of foods do you like? How much cardio can you manage? There's no point taking an approach that's going to be unsustainable, okay? Because you're not going to be able to stick to that. And it's going to make the day-to-day harder for you. And you need to focus on the day-to-day. Focus on the habits in your day-to-day because that's what's going to get you to your outcome. If you're outcome-driven, you're completely disregarding the process. And the process, the day-to-day, is what's going to get you to your outcome. So you need to start focusing on that instead of the outcome. Stop focusing on the finish line, all right? And I mentioned this in another podcast. When you cross the finish line, it's not the 2 steps you take to cross the finish line. It's the thousands of steps accumulated that got you from 1 kilometer up to 42 kilometers, okay? It's the thousands of steps that got you to cross that finish line, not the 2 steps that you just have taken to cross that threshold or whatever, okay? So you need to stop thinking about the outcome and focus on just taking 1 step each day and getting 1% better each day, all right? Stop trying to rush it. So the last one is, and finally, self-discipline is a lifestyle. It should always be there. You don't put it back in a box once you see a certain number on a scale. It's working on yourself every day to show up as the best version of yourself. You might have all the talent, skill, knowledge in the world, but if you don't have self-discipline, you'll never make it. And I think that's a really good, there's some truth in that, because imagine there's probably footballers out there who are better than Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, singers that are better than Whitney Houston and Celine Dion, but we'll never know them. They'll never grace our screens or our speakers because they hadn't got what it takes. They didn't have the self-discipline to succeed. They didn't want to put in the hard work. They kept falling at the first hurdle and just giving up. Ronaldo started training from when he was 11 years old. The Williams sisters who play tennis started training from the age of 3. Look at all the products you use, the inventions, the electronics. We would never have them if someone didn't decide to sit down one day and think, fuck this, I'm going to chase my dream. No matter how many times I fail, I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to get this dishwasher in every electronic shop in the world. And where would we be without dishwashers today if someone didn't actually sit down and just have a good pep talk with themselves? Think of all the people who inspire you to be a better person. What if they never took the plunge? What if my coach wasn't disciplined enough to follow his dreams and be a great coach? I probably wouldn't be where I am today. Like, maybe I'd be doing something completely different with my life. Maybe I would have gave up on the coaching. You know, I find like he plays a big part in why I'm still doing what I'm doing today with the coaching. So yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. So discipline is having the ability to self-monitor. So what I would say is, the next time you're at a party and there's a platter of food put in front of you, have that inner talk with yourself, okay? You're stronger than you think. You're mentally stronger than you think. The power is in your hands. You are 100% capable of achieving anything you put your mind to. But it all starts in the mind. And I always, always say it. Your mind has to change before your physical body changes. It's so true. The mental side of it is one of the toughest parts. People think it's the food. It's not. It's the whole mentality. It's the mindset. It really is. You have to get good at telling your mind to shut the fuck up sometimes, okay? So again, next time you have a platter of goujons at a party in front of you, ask yourself, do I need to have 15 goujons when I've already fed myself today? I'll enjoy 2 to 3, and if I feel like I need to take any more, move the plate away from you. If the people that are sitting around you don't want to move the plate, just change seats for 20 minutes. Go up to the bar and get a drink, or go up for a dance or something like that. That's just a situation I'm using as an example. There's so many other situations, but again, if you think you're someone who's very, very busy all the time and you're skipping meals, you need to plan better, okay? Because you need to find a way to make your life easier so you can stick to this. Because if you keep coming up against hurdles and challenges all the time, and you find yourself in situations where you're caving all the time, you need to have a look at your system. What type of system have you got in place? Are you just a poor planner? Are you always falling behind on your food shop? There's never anything in the fridge to help you stick to your goals. Like, you need to start calling yourself out, all right? So I'll get the name of that book now. Hold on, in case you wanted to read it, I'm actually reading another book now. It's called The Mountain Is You. It's actually very good. It's about self-sabotage and many other things. Basically how you stand in the way of you wanting to get to your goals. But where are we? Hold on. Aha, The Power of Discipline. It has a yellow cover on it. So I recently mentioned in my previous podcast that I got a Kindle. And I just find it so much easier to read now because I don't like turning on a light in my room when I'm trying to read at night. Because then I had to get up out of bed and turn it off. So it's great lying in the dark and reading my Kindle, and I put the orange filter on the screen as well, so like it's not a blue light that's gonna, you know, hinder my sleep. And it actually makes me feel sleepier, and you know what? I'm learning something as well. So yeah, this is a podcast on discipline. I hope it's helped, and I hope it's put into perspective what it actually is and what it takes to get from A to B in terms of your goal. And I will see you in the next one. Thanks for listening.